I thought I'd start with a couple of jokes. I think my dad would be proud of me. He always starts with a couple of jokes. So, yeah, I'll just apologise in advance. They're probably not as good as some of the Rickett ones, but, hey, I'm searching the internet for the best. So this is the best I could come up with today. This one's a joke about the kind of weather we've had a lot this winter. I like to imagine that the guy who invented the umbrella was going to call it Brella, but he hesitated. Umbrella. Yeah, anyway, I hope none of you can relate to this next one. I watch so much Netflix that rather than suggesting me shows to watch, it started suggesting I go outside. May that not be true of any of you guys, Hannah or Ethan. Anyway, this morning's message is called Let the River Flow. I actually wrote this as a result of being really challenged following the message I spoke, whether you remember it or not, back in February. And that message was about us being followers of Jesus, that we are Christ's ambassadors, that we bring the light of the world, and that we are atmosphere shifters and game changers. And I started asking myself, well, if that's true, why am I not seeing more evidence of the life-giving rivers that the Bible says that I've got inside of me on the lives of those that I am rubbing shoulders with? And in the light of what is currently happening globally with coronavirus, I think answering this question is essential. And I don't know about you, but right now, if I spend too long on my phone, on my BBC news app, I can just feel the fear and anxiety wanting to wrap itself around me. And that's the perfect time to put my phone down and just remember whose I am. Because if I know whose I am, then I'm going to know who I am. And who are we? We're dearly loved children of God. We're chosen, we're accepted, we're forgiven, and we're blessed. And blessed just means favoured, fortunate, prosperous. We're royalty. Did you know that? You're part of a royal family. Never mind Wills and Kate. We're co-heirs with Jesus. And we have an incredible message of hope. I hope you know that. I know you do, or you wouldn't be here. But we've got an incredible message of hope to share with people who right now are succumbing to fear and anxiety. And if it's not that, then they're just feeling insecure because everything they have been putting their faith in, their hope, their trust in, family, money, their jobs, their health, is now looking a bit uncertain. But before I look at how we can let the river flow in our lives, I'd just like to briefly recap my last message. It won't take long. So in summary then, as followers of Jesus, we are God's ambassadors. We're the light of the world. We're God's temple. And as I said last time, the reference for us being God's ambassadors is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. I'll just read that. We are Christ's ambassadors, his representatives, as though God were making his appeal through us. The Passion Translation says we carry the message of Christ to the world as though God were tenderly pleading with them through our own lips. And in Matthew 5, verse 14, we read, we are the light of the world. And again, reading from the Passion Translation, it says, your lives light up the world. And finally, thirdly, we are God's temple. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says, don't you know, you yourselves are God's temple. God's Spirit dwells in you. The Passion Translation puts it this way, the Spirit of God makes his permanent home in you. Pretty cool. And I think it's this third point, that we are God's temple, that has an incredibly exciting side effect or outcome. In John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39, you'll remember that Jesus says, whoever believes in me, as scriptures has said, rivers of living water will flow continually from within them. And by this, he meant the Spirit. And the impact of these rivers of living water is described in Ezekiel 47, verse 9. When the river empties into the sea, the salty water becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish. Where the river flows, everything will live. So that brings me to some photos that I showed last time of a sunrise in Triada Bay. For those who didn't see the photos, they'll be up there in a minute. And then this third photo, which actually Sharon sent to me, which is one that I talked about how I should have had, really shows how I said last time that when the sun rises, it's as if a light is flipped and the houses, the buildings, just glow. And I just felt that those three photos pretty much explain the impact the sunrise has on whatever's around. It takes a dull, cold, dark scene and transforms it. And there's light and there's warmth. And I just felt, as I said last time, that when I looked at those sunrises, those pictures, well, I was the one that took them, but in the same way as followers of Jesus, we are light bringers. We are atmosphere shifters. We are game changers. Wherever we are and wherever we go, in a world that needs hope, needs Jesus, especially at a time like this. And out of that daily personal encounter that we have with Jesus, as we read the Bible, as we speak to him, as we listen to him speak back to us, light and warmth and life flow out of our lives. As we go to the supermarket, hopefully we still can. As we walk the dog, as we go down the street, as we go to the gym, as we go to work, as we hang out with our friends, as we hang out with our family. And now that coronavirus may reduce our physical contact, we are still going to be connecting with each other. So there's still opportunities for us to bring that light, that warmth, and that life. And as I said last time, I love how the Message Bible puts Matthew 5. And this is for you guys. This is for me. This is for everyone who's a follower of Jesus. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. So anyway, that was a quick summary of my previous message. Thanks for being patient and just hearing that. Now, just to get on to today's message, let the river flow. I think that if this message was a Six Nations rugby match, we'd be about ready to run onto the pitch, and this would be the second half. And as legendary 90s All Black captain Sean Fitzpatrick famously said, it's a game of two halves. And Gus has got a really good impersonation of that. So could you give us your best Fitzy's impression?
It's a game of two halves.
That's literally how he talked. He was this huge, burly rugby guy, and yet he had this, it's a game of two halves voice. And we would always laugh in New Zealand. Sorry, Fitzy, if you're listening. You're awesome. Anyway, as we discussed, as followers of Jesus, we're light bringers, we're atmosphere shifters, we're game changers. But like I said earlier, if that's who we are, then why aren't we seeing more signs of life? Why aren't we having more impact? Why aren't I having more impact in my neighbourhood, where I work, with my family and with my friends? And when I made that comment recently to Gus, he told me at a church service, where Rodney Howard Brown sang the old song, "There's a River of Life." Do you guys remember that? There's a river of life flowing out from me. I've started too high. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out from me. Yeah, take it away, Gus. Anyway, back to Rodney Howard Brown. During this meeting, apparently he said, yeah, there is a river of life, but the lame aren't walking, the blind aren't seeing, and the captives aren't being set free. Why not? And exactly, that was a question I asked myself. Why aren't we hearing more comments like the one Cherie Webb told me just recently that she heard from a workmate? And if she was here, I was going to get her to come up and share it. So, yeah, no, kids' church. So I'll just have to try and remember. It was pretty simple. She just said that as she was going about her rounds at the hospital, a woman came up to her, it might have been at break, and just said, Cherie, whenever you're on the same shift as me, I really enjoy being with you. I really enjoy my day. Amazing. Now, I believe that's normal Christian experience, and I reckon that's what we can expect to have happen when the life-giving river, God's Holy Spirit, is flowing out from us. Sure, people may not always vocalize what they think of us, and maybe that's just as well sometimes. But when they think of us well, like we just said about Cherie's workmate, as I said, they may not tell us, so therefore we don't necessarily know the extent of the impact that we are having. But I reckon there will be signs of life if we are having that impact. And I guess this is the key, not the key, this is the crux of my message this morning. I believe that the key to us seeing those signs of life, the effects of that river of living water, is us having regular heart checks and asking ourselves this question: what condition is my heart in? Taking it one step further, Aussie speaker Christine Kane said that some of us are at risk of having a spiritual heart attack because we're not asking ourselves that very question. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to do some open heart surgery on us. John 7 verses 38 and 39 in the Amplified Bible says, "From his innermost being will continually flow rivers of living water." The New Living Translation reads, "Rivers of living water will flow from his heart." And ladies, that's you as well. So the condition of our heart is what affects those rivers of living water flowing, which I reckon explains why we're urged in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, to above all else guard your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. It makes sense, right? Our hearts need to be clear of debris and rubbish so that God's rivers of living water, the Holy Spirit, they're able to flow out of us and impact the people we're rubbing shoulders with. Now, to illustrate this point, got some more photos. Not as pretty as the last ones, I've got to be honest. They're pipes, in case you're not sure. So just as we flick through those, there's three of them, Sharon. Just tell me what you see. What can you see, guys? Oh, yeah, bunged up. Anything else? Oh, the arteries are blocked. Yeah, anything else? What was that? Yeah, seaweed. You got that right. So one is completely clear. The other one's got some sand in it. And then the last one is pretty much full of a whole lot of stuff. We've got some seaweed, some sticks, some sand, and that other white thing. I don't know what that is. But it's pretty much clogged the whole pipe. Now the million-dollar question is, which one of those pipes is going to convey water most effectively? It's a no-brainer. Yeah, yeah. All right, everyone's awake. But here's a tougher question, and I ask myself this: which pipe represents my heart right now? Just have a think about that regarding your own life. And I'm just going to be honest with you, because I don't know about you, but I am embarrassed and I'm sad to say that I've often allowed debris to sit in my heart. Sometimes it's just a little bit of sand, but other times I find that I've accumulated a bunch of rubbish in my heart. Either way, I've let sin block a clear passage that the Spirit of God needs so that that river of living water can flow out of my life. So we need to ask ourselves, how can we avoid having a heart condition that looks like that one, even the second one with the bit of sand? Either way, it's not a clear passage, is it? And I love Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, because I reckon this tells us how. I'll just read it now. "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." In other words, as Jesus himself said in Matthew 16, verse 24, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you've got to give up your own way, take up your cross and follow me." Those words, "take up your cross," don't conjure up comfortable images, do they? I don't know if any of you have seen The Passion of the Christ. Not that I'm highly recommending it. It's an R18 and it is pretty disturbing. But you know what? As Christians, I reckon we should all watch that. Whether it's entirely accurate, but I think it gives a pretty good representation of the kind of suffering Jesus endured on the cross. So maybe with Easter coming up, you guys might want to have a watch of that. I know I can barely watch some of it myself, but yeah, take up your cross. I believe that as we fix our eyes on Jesus and as we look at his example, that we can see some things that are going to enable our heart condition to be right. And these are a couple of things, and this is something the Lord's been revealing to me, just as I say, since February. I've been reading in the book of Hebrews, and I've discovered, as I have been fixing my eyes on Jesus, these couple of things. Number one, suffering is a normal part of a Christian life. And number two, there is blessing at the cross. So let's look at those two things just briefly. I haven't got long to go. Number one, suffering is a normal part of Christian life. My mum once said that she thought I had a high tolerance for pain. I think she said that after she watched me giving birth after just 2 hours of being induced without any pain relief. Now, whether mum's got that right or not, I don't know. But one thing I know for a fact, I have got a really low spiritual pain tolerance, a really low spiritual pain threshold. And I've had that for much of my life. And what I mean is that over the years, I have often, unfortunately, shown little resistance to temptation at times. And I'm not proud to say that, I'm just being honest. Sadly, I can't recall nearly enough times that I've chosen to suffer by saying no to a temptation, and instead I've just given in to my own selfish desires. Now, can anyone else relate? Yeah. Thanks for those honest hands. I don't feel so lonely. I feel like I'm in an AA meeting. Hi, I'm Karen and I'm a sinner. Well, it's true. However, when I fix my eyes on Jesus and I look at how he lived his life on earth, I am so encouraged because in Hebrews 5, 7 and 9, it says this, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son, though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And he was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. If Jesus experienced pain when he was tempted to sin, and he was, except he never sinned, it says that he was tempted in every way that we are, then you and I, as followers of Jesus, also should expect it to hurt. When we choose not to give in to temptation, suffering should be a normal part of our Christian life. But we can find enormous comfort and hope in knowing that because Jesus suffered, he knows what we're up against, and he gives us a way out of that temptation. Hebrews 2 verse 18 says, because he himself, which is Jesus, suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. He gets it. He gets us. And again, in Hebrews 14, verses 14 to 16, it says, therefore, since we've got a great high priest who's ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Because we don't have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we've got one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we can receive the mercy and find the grace and to help us in our time of need. That reminds me of a song by Jeremy Camp. I don't know if you've heard it. It's called He Knows. And these are the words. He knows every hurt and every sting. He has walked the suffering. He knows. Let your burdens come undone. Lift your eyes up to the one who knows. Every time you feel forsaken, every time you feel alone, he is near to the brokenhearted. Every tear, he knows. And my second point first was that suffering is part of the normal Christian experience. Secondly, there is blessing at the cross. Now that kind of sounds like an oxymoron. Is that the right word? Oxymoron, like how can something be hot and cold? Is that right, Ethan? English expert? Yeah, good. Thanks. Yeah, no, I'm not calling you a moron. Thanks, Gus. But you know what? It's not. There is blessing at the cross. Remember what Hebrews 12 said, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. As followers of Jesus, we're not just suffering for suffering's sake. We're not part of some weird religious cult that's into self-flagellation. Is that the right word? I hope so. No way, not at all. We are following Jesus' example and we're taking up our cross each day. And we do that because there's joy up ahead. We're promised in Matthew 16, verse 25, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. When we choose to give up our selfish rights to sin, when I choose to give up my selfish right to retaliate when someone says something, when something is done to me, and all I want to do is get even, and the pain I'm feeling, I want them to have a piece of that. But when I give up my selfish right to do that, I enjoy something far better than getting my own way, far better than feeling smug, thinking, well, you hurt me, now I've just hurt you. We, like Jesus, can scorn the shame of making the hard choice to die to that impulse, that desire to lash out, and we can endure the pain felt in not giving in to temptation. And you know why? Because we then get to experience the joy and blessing of seeing the Holy Spirit, the rivers of living water flowing out of our lives and bringing life wherever they are, wherever they go. What an incredible joy. What an incredible blessing and privilege. The joy set before us as followers is not just eternal life when we die. Yes, we've got that, and that's something that's a joy set before us. But we can experience abundant life right here, right now. And as my dad would often say, it's not pie in the sky when you die, it's steak on your plate while you wait. So just as I bring this message to a close, I just want to end by saying this. There is a cost to being a light bearer, an atmosphere shifter, and a game changer. If we want those rivers of living water, God's Holy Spirit to flow out of our lives like we've been promised that they do, and they will, our hearts need to be in the right condition. They need to be clear of everything, as Hebrews says, that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And if we're not prepared to pay that cost, we may find ourselves, and I have, looking like we're batting for the other team, and you know what I'm talking about. We're not a good advertisement for Christianity. And as I said before, I've had far too many times when I know I have not been Christ's ambassador. My kids will tell you that, my husband will tell you that, and probably some of the neighbours I've lived next door to. But I think worst of all is it is a huge loss, not just to us, but to all those people who are in need of hope. They're in need of Jesus, especially in times like this that we're living in. And I wasn't going to read this, but just to close, Isaiah 41, verses 17 to 18. I read this yesterday and it really blessed me. The poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst. But I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, I won't forsake them. That's talking about everyone that is out there right now. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I'll turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. There are a lot of thirsty people out there who are trying to satisfy that thirst with a whole lot of different kinds of things. But there is only one thing that will do it, and that is the Spirit of God, that is Jesus. And guess who is the carrier of those rivers of living water? Us. So let's give our hearts a regular checkup and ask ourselves, what's the condition of my heart right now? Let's have lives that sing. There's a river of life flowing out from me, making the lame to walk and the blind to see, opening prison doors and setting the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out from me. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for the incredible privilege of having you, the God of the universe, living on the inside of us. And Lord, I thank you that we are your light bearers, that we have the answer to the thirst of people in the world who are needing hope and who are just thirsty. And Lord, I just pray that you will encourage us, that you will convict us to ask ourselves that tough question, what is the condition of my heart? and not just today, but on a regular basis, so that we can let your rivers of living water flow. And wherever they flow, you have said that things will live, dead things will come back to life, dead situations will have breakthrough, will have life. So come, Holy Spirit, just let that word and the truth of it be a fruit in our lives. Don't let us just be hearers of your word, but let us be doers of it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.